Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Right, Angie.
I mean, this feels a bit weird, Pats.
We're doing something different. This is the second record of the week.
Yes.
It's a glorious day outside. It's 10 to 6 on a Wednesday evening. Unusual for us to be recording midweek.
It is very weird.
But we thought, because we wanted to get our ducks in a row, didn't we?
We did, Pats, because we're a bit shit at getting the ducks in a row.
And it's a bank holiday next Monday. And then it's our amazing producer's birthday on the Tuesday. So we thought we've got to get in there early.
Got to get in early doors. Because we've already had to release two apologies.
Exactly.
We could not come with a third.
We don't want a hat trick.
We do not. No, I think actually if we did that, everyone would go, do you know what? Fuck that.
I'm not listening.
I'm fucked off with finding the funny.
Yeah.
So
finding the fuck off. So we decided to put up a little couple of little different boxes.
You were
going to
say a couple of little dildos then.
Little dildos. We put a couple of little dildos online. We decided to put up different boxes each.
We
which
did.
I think has worked well.
It's worked well, Pats.
So I asked everybody to tell us what did they want us to talk about? What did they want to hear from us? Was there anything that they were desperate to hear about in terms of our opinions or whatever? And the number one thing was this Philip and Holly row.
I know. Well, that actually, there was a few people that were talking about that on Monday, or you know, in the prep for Monday's record.
Yeah,
a few people had put that in the box as well, and I was like, oh, I don't know, should we talk about that? But I think, like anybody, we have an opinion on it.
Absolutely.
So we thought, well, do you know what? People have asked, so let's have a chat about it.
We wouldn't normally go down this
route,
but so many people have asked us, you want to hear what we think. So obviously this is just our opinion.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you can disagree with us. We might not say everything that you think is true or right, but my opinion is he did the right thing.
Oh, 100%.
By stepping down,
yeah,
he did the right thing.
I think the thing about it that's probably the most sad out of the whole situation is the amount of abuse that has now been coming his way. You know, look, nobody knows what has gone on there. And this is the thing with the press, isn't it? It's like all of a sudden there's a bit of a rumour, there's something going on. It's, you know, oh gosh, Philip this, Philip that. Then it's in the press, then it's online, then it's literally a barrage of people just writing things about him, about what they think has gone on, and ultimately nobody knows, you know, apart from Phil and possibly Holly and maybe some other people within this morning, nobody knows. And for people to then think that they have any right or place to then write such abusive things, I think that's the thing I find really difficult.
One thing I heard which I was really interested in, I wondered what you thought about this, was obviously there has been things that have come to light about Philip Schofield's brother, which is not Philip Schofield, and we need to make that really clear. And whilst there's obviously been a judgment that he should go to prison, and so there must be evidence to suggest, you know, I know that people are wrongfully imprisoned but you know, we've got to go with the judgment that we've got in front of us. One thing that I was reading was, do you think that Holly is like distance herself from him on purpose because of that stuff that's gone on with his brother. Like, do you think that that is something that she's found uncomfortable? Or because there's lots of people saying Philip must have known. Now, I don't believe that. I don't know that that's necessarily definitely true. Mm. I don't know that you always know exactly what your siblings are looking at or doing. Like, you know, when you don't live with your siblings anymore, I mean, anyone can live a double life, can't they?
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Like, let's be honest. Yeah. Anyone can, like, get involved in things, be that drugs, affairs, you know, like criminality, whatever that is. It's very easy to keep things secret from people.
Totally.
But there's been people saying that, obviously we don't know what's happened between them, but I was interested by that. Has she distanced herself because of that negative press?
I don't think she's distanced herself because of that. I mean, it's hard to know whether that is the case because, again, it's just one of those things we're never going to know. I think there has obviously been something has gone on between them, whether that's something specific to do with Phil or whether it's because of his brother and stuff that's come out about him and the kind of that the relationship he has with him. But I think she's handled that very well. I think she's had to really trust her own, like, gut on how she feels about whatever this is. And I think she's handled herself very well. I think she's, you know, there's not really been anything in the press about her or anything she said or anything other than going, do you know what, I need to just kind of remove myself from this situation, I think is a brilliant way to handle it. I think it is just about remembering that, you know, this is someone's life. You know, and
he's a real person.
Yeah, whatever has gone on, whatever has happened, he, you know, I was sort of thinking about, because there was something I saw where he'd apparently gone down to Cornwall to be with his mum, or he was spending time.
Yeah.
Do you know what? The first thing I thought was, oh my gosh, how is his mum? How is she? Like, so she's got a son now in prison. She's now got a son who's, well, life has really kind of not fallen apart as such, but really taken a very...
It's changed massively,
exactly,
hasn't
a huge
it
battering.
Him?
And who knows kind of how this is going to pan out as far as his career goes.
Yeah.
But and I think that for me is the, you know, whatever you think of someone, whatever you think they have done or you know they've done, like, we're all human. We all make mistakes. Now, some of those mistakes are huge and you have to pay for that in some way, like his brother has now had to. But we are all...
I don't think we can call that a mistake.
Well, no, I think word lightly.
Yeah, mistake in relation to what his brother's done isn't particularly comfortable for me. I think that was a known offence.
I wasn't meaning he made a mistake in that way. No. There was obviously a lot that's gone on for him in his life.
He's committed offences that would have ruined young people's lives.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. But I think, you know, it's just remembering that it's a bit like, you know, everything that happened with Caroline Flack. Mm. You know, it's something happened with her that ended up in the press. It got blown up. No one really ever knew what went on. It was all a bit
It got wrongly reported.
Exactly.
You know, it was her blood that
she
had been self-harming before the ambulance crew arrived.
Yeah.
What the inquest showed was that she had actually been, you know, it wasn't his blood where she'd hit him over the head with a lampshade. She was so mentally unwell or she was so unable to regulate in that moment that she was actually harming herself. Mm. And, you know, that would change the whole course of that case.
Yeah.
That, you know, there would be an understanding that she was going through something incredibly dark and difficult and it would have made a complete difference.
Exactly. And that's all I keep coming back to. Like, you know, unless at some point there is some clear cut, like, evidence or reporting, or there's a, you know, something that comes out that people are then able to make a judgment on him, on whatever he might or might not have done, whenever, if that ever happens, then obviously that does change the picture slightly. But I just think for now, nobody knows. And just to kind of keep in, for me anyway, it's a matter of keeping in mind that this is this is a human being. This is his life. This is his family's life. You know, I think about his, obviously his ex-wife, he's got two daughters. For me, it's that ripple effect, you know, and we've had, to a certain extent, for our own sort of firsthand experience of things with James, you know, and it's horrible. It's horrible to be his sister and read and see things that people write about him.
I think as well, I think, you know, for anybody that has worked, you know, they've worked together day in, day out, and for a decade, essentially. I think that's what they've been doing, like 12, 15 years they've been doing this morning together.
Yeah.
And for this to be, and obviously this is a very dramatic fallout. I think Philip Schofield himself has managed this with quite a lot of grace and poise, actually. And I think he was very clear in his statement that the show had got lost. He had become the news, essentially, rather than this morning being, you know, what people are talking about. And I think, you know, to step down from a role like that does take quite a lot of guts, actually, and to hold his hands up and say, actually, I'm probably not right to be fronting this anymore takes quite a lot to do. And I think... for their, you know, they have always had this incredibly close friendship. And also that's really sad for me that these two people who have clearly been very close for years, that's undeniable, on and off camera. It is undeniable that they have been really brilliant friends. And she's obviously been a confidant for him for a lot of things and has supported him. And I think, God, like, this has ruined this friendship. This, whatever this thing is that's come between them. And that is also deeply painful. You know, we've talked at times before about when you fall out with friends, it feels like a breakup when you've been really close with somebody and they've done something that's let you down, or, you know, you've
been parted
ways because you've hurt each other. That is deeply painful as well. And I think, God, Holly's now got to go back onto that show and front it with somebody else.
Totally different.
And nobody knows who that's going to be. Although ITV, if you're listening.
Yes.
And you want maybe three women to present this morning.
You know, if you just want to give Holly a Friday off, I know you've got Dermot and Alison, but Alison's...
Dammit.
But, you know, I know that Alison's obviously going to be going off to do the bake-off, so there might be availability there.
If you would like us to step in...
We are happy to do so.
Do you know that Dermot O'Leary is 50?
No.
He was 50 yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Derms is looking good.
I'd have put him at like 44, 45.
Yeah, mid-40s, I'd say. Yeah.
He's 50.
Wowee, Derms.
He was 50 yesterday. Anyway, we digress.
Yeah.
But I that's also been something I just keep thinking, God, for both of them. I mean, there's a real grief happening here.
I suppose, you just hope that
they come back together.
Whatever it is that's gone on and the hurt that maybe they've gone through or you know experienced will heal, and sometimes you just need to have a bit of distance and a bit of a break and have a bit of time because and that I suppose that is the good that could come out of it, you know, whatever it is has gone on, however hard it has been for them in very different ways, I should imagine, that they are able to find that friendship again somehow. And
so there's our opinion. I mean, it's quite, we skirted around it a little bit. Who knows what's gone on? Nobody really knows. I just feel desperately sad for the people involved, essentially. And you're right to mention Caroline Flack, because I think I made very sweeping judgments about what had gone on in that flat, potentially, and lots of other people around me did too.
And I think
we're sort of,
it's very,
having opinions of that.
It's very easy to get caught up in that, you know, hype at the time. It's very easy to let your kind of, you know, your own kind of thoughts and opinions and, you know, you say what you think and you don't. And I think it is just, you know, it is that kind of cliche, but it is about just being kind. Like, things you don't have to write something down and put it on some sort of blog or on a site, and you don't have to be putting your opinion here, there and everywhere. Just whatever you think, sometimes you can just keep that to yourself.
Absolutely.
And just be kind where you can, because God knows the world needs it.
This episode is brought to you by First Dates Podcast. Now, Ange, First Dates is one of our favourite shows, isn't
we
it?
We love it. Absolutely love it.
And the First Dates Podcast is actually hosted by Cece, who we've had on.
Yes.
Go and check out her episode. Mm-hmm. And none other than the amazing Frankie Bidge from Loose Women in the Saturdays. And they are the ones that are front and centre of this podcast.
They don't want to match you up with anyone, just hear your amazing dating stories. So whether you are single or in a relationship, it doesn't matter. In fact, they'd love to know how you met your significant other.
The stories can be outrageous, heartwarming, hilarious, inspiring, or just all round entertaining. A wardrobe malfunction, being locked in the bathroom and your date having to rescue you. Stories of love at first sight, they absolutely want to know.
If this could be you, get in touch with us on the following email, firstdatespodcast at 2020TV, that's 2020 spelt T-W-E-N-T-Y, so firstdatespodcast at 2020.tv. So if you have a great story, you could be joining Cece and Frankie in the studio. That's firstdatespodcast at 2020.tv.
So, Angie, over to you. What have you had? Let's think about some of the things you've had in your box.
Right, okay. In my box, should we go more for a light one as we've gone quite heavy?
Sure,
in there,
let's
haven't
go.
We?
Let's go light vibes.
Okay, we're going in light. Right, this was quite a good one that came in from Stephanie Elnew. Who is the one person you've been starstruck by? In brackets, apart from Dawn French ofs.
Robbie Williams.
Really? What, even from like, is it, are we talking like years ago when you first met him?
The first time I met him. And then I was at his house and then we were doing a quiz and Gary Barlow walks in and Robbie says, oh, Gaz, I think there's a space on Ruth's team. Why don't you sit next to her? And I was a massive that fan. Like, absolutely love them. Me and James went to their concerts. I had posters. Like, I was obsessed with Robbie, like hardcore diehard fan. Mm. And James actually, even before I met him, gave me the pep talk of, you've got to keep it cool.
Play it cool, Trig.
And I did for about 30 seconds. And then I was like, I've seen you live so many times. I have got all your albums. I absolutely, and James's face.
You went
was
full
like,
fan mode.
Oh my God. James was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. As James.
And
does.
He just casually said, you've probably paid for half this house, so thanks, bub. that's actually really funny. So he was, for me, like, just because I adored Take That.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was a, like, it was never E17 for me.
No.
It was always Take That.
Yeah.
And he was probably one of the, you know, James became friends with him quite early on in his career.
Mm.
So he was probably one of the very first ultra famous people.
Yes.
You know, you think around the world, other than America, Robbie is quite a household name in
yes.
lots of countries.
Yeah.
And because I hadn't had a huge amount of exposure to going to like parties with James or being around, you know, it was still relatively new for him. Like, he couldn't believe he was friends with Robbie
yeah,
Williams
yeah.
at that point. You know, he was like, what the fuck
this is
my
weird.
Life?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so to be in his house in LA, like, I'd never experienced anything like that before. And I was only in my 20s, like mid-20s.
Very impressionable. So,
and also my Take That love wasn't that far behind
no,
me. You know,
no.
it was like still pretty, you know,
intense.
Full on in my heart. Mm. Yeah. And I was gutted when they split up and stuff. So that will always be a pinnacle moment of thinking, holy shit, I can't believe. And I met him at his house in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
You know, like, and then 2 days later, he played us part of his new album. And I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Yeah.
So he would definitely be like the person that I got the most starstruck. It was like, oh my God, I've watched you perform countless times and now I'm still
and
in
now
the
I'm
house.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do you know, I don't really get starstruck.
Oh, for
I don't. Like,
oh my God. This is ridiculous. Okay, so you're telling me when you first met Harry, you weren't a bit like, oh wow, this is weird.
Weird, but I don't get that like giddy, like, oh my gosh, it's Harry Styles. I don't, like, I very quickly go, oh, it's just Harry Styles. Or, like, I remember when I met Anthony.
This is like the chocolate bar chat all over again.
I'm really not.
I don't get starstruck. I don't like mini eggs. They're too hard on the outside. I don't like whispers because they're too soft. Harry Styles was in front of me and I just thought, oh, that's Harry Styles.
I don't, do you know what? I'm not a really excitable person.
Yeah, and that's why you're boring.
I think you'll find that actually it proves that I will only ever really get that excited about really big deals. And those things are not that a big deal to me.
About really big dildos.
Big dildos. I remember when I met Anthony Joshua. I wasn't like starstruck. I was more like, holy shit.
Crushing. Yeah. Crushing. You were fangirl crushing.
You are one incredible male specimen.
Right.
So I think I was more like taken aback by his size.
clothes on. We've got to be very clear here that his size and body.
Yes, size of body. Size of bicep.
Size of biceps.
Huge biceps.
Yeah, he could wrap you up in those.
Oh my. Well, I ended up having like this because I'd gone to, this is back when James was fronting A League of Their Own. Yeah. And I'd gone with actually four of my best friends. And I didn't know he was on. And the message James on the way there saying, I'm coming tonight, mate, and I've got some friends with me. Who's on? And he put, you know, an AJ. And I was like, oh my gosh, Anthony Joshua is going to be there.
You were definitely starstruck. I don't care what you say. I think this pisses me off, actually, because I think you say, I don't really get starstruck to like be like, you're cool.
No, it's just not. Bollocks. I'm not trying to be cool because I just am cool.
said no cool person ever.
I mean, that's probably the closest I would say I'd got to being a bit starstruck was just kind of, yeah, coming across AJ's biceps.
So we had lots of people asking about how you feel comfortable in your body in the summer, how you feel comfortable as you grow older, how do you keep your confidence? So what I would say is, Anne, me and you have done a really good job of making out like we're confident in our own bodies and in our own
skin. If only people knew.
No, I think this is a really good question, isn't it? Because I think, obviously, with the body positivity movement, which I, as a fat person, have a bit of a problem with.
Mm, yeah.
Because I feel like it's thin people making out they've got roles and saying, I love my body. Mm. I feel like I'm body positive. When actually, until you've not been able to sit in a plane seat particularly well or not been able to use a public toilet particularly well because they're so, you know, there is such a thing as thin privilege. You know, there really is. You know, everything is designed for somebody who is of a certain size. Mm. I think there is now this like need to always love your body, and I just don't think that's realistic.
Yeah, I think women in general know that it's always going to be this like rollercoaster, and probably actually for men as well. Yeah. I think it's very easy to kind of say it's a female problem. I think there's actually a lot of men
agreed
that feel this as well. And I think probably, you know, I think that part of image for men and young, I think, you know, if I look at like Joel, you know, Joel's, you know, he's quite, you know, he's a fairly good height, but he's not like, I think he finds it hard when a lot of his mates are like these, you know, big, tall, buff, AJ looking type people. And I think he really does feel that because that's not him at all. And it's something that I think does bother him more than he probably lets on. And I think that's probably like that across the board for men and women.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think for me, I think I have days where I think, oh God, I look an absolute mess. I look disgusting. I put something on and I think it just looks foul. Yeah. Or I think I put that on 6 months ago, I could get into it and I can't now. And I think it's this constant battle you have with yourself. And some days you are okay with it and you're fine with it and you actually feel great about yourself, and other days you feel shit. And I think
also, sorry, go on.
Well, I just think that is just, I think if you can kind of get to a place where you know that that is just how it's going to be.
I also just think as well, like, I'll never forget Ash's life stories saying, yes, you know, she's great at this stuff. She's yes, like, she will be like, I'm going to wear the crop top. I don't yeah, care. And I genuinely yeah, believe she doesn't care. Like, I don't, I don't think that is a, and I remember her saying that she was really stopped in her tracks when she saw Ava, her little girl, looking in the mirror and pulling apart her body. Mm. And Ava wasn't very old at the time. And she was like, oh my God, this was before she kind of accepted her body and has been on a real journey with that. But I remember her doing a story saying, I watched Ava at like 10 or something, naming all the things she hated about her body and was like, oh my God, that's me. And then she kind of vowed to herself that she wouldn't ever do that. And that started her on a journey of just kind of loving and accepting herself.
Herself, yeah.
And I genuinely do think a massive percentage of this is like, I personally would never wear a bikini. Like, I just wouldn't do it. Whether it was high-waisted pants or whatever, I just wouldn't do it, right? Because I know I would feel unsexy, uncomfortable. And that shows.
Yeah.
You have got to wear what you're comfortable
what
in.
Makes
Don't
you
wear
feel good.
It because you're like, the rest of the world will hate that they're seeing my tummy.
Mm.
Don't look at something and go, and I think there is a narrative for women that is like, you can't wear that, you can't wear that, you can only wear this, you can only wear that. And I think the plus size clothes industry is a real telltale for that, because for my birthday, I got an amazing Nike tracksuit. I've never had a Nike tracksuit because Nike never made sizes big enough because we weren't supposed to wear Nike tracksuits, right? Yeah. So I think we've been on a journey with the plus size, and I hate the fact that it's plus size fashion. I just wish it was fashion, but the plus size fashion, realizing that fat people do you want to wear the same things that people from Zara wear, like,
exactly,
we don't need a bit to be jazzed up or like, there was a whole reel I watched about, if it's going to be plus size, you've got to jazz it up. You've got to have like a bit of lace on it, or it's got to have like butterflies,
a bit of bling
on
or something.
Yeah, you can't just be a fat person and wear like beige trousers and a beige top. But I think for me, the root of this is, I don't not wear a bikini because I think that'll offend other people on the beach.
No.
I don't wear a bikini because I wouldn't feel comfortable in it. Now, whether that's because of the narrative I've been given or not, that's just me.
Yes.
And I think the key to absolute body confidence and positivity, whatever the season, is wearing what you like.
Yes.
Look, feeling sexy means you'll look sexy.
Yeah.
And when you walk into a room and your hair's done and you've got an outfit on that you think, oh my God, that shows. People are like,
100%.
Whoa, she, it doesn't matter what size you are. If you walk into a room and you feel good in what you're wearing, that shows.
Yeah.
So I would just say what I've come to terms with over my life is that sometimes I love my body.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I still have that, like, I should be good. I should lose such and such. I should, I should weigh 10 stone lighter.
Yeah.
But it's all down to the clothes that I pick to wear. And that's the key for me.
Yeah.
And if you want to feel confident, pick stuff that you
wear
love.
Wear stuff that you feel great in.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely that, Pats. Yeah. This came in from Charlotte Butters.
The OG.
Butters. So, sticky toffee pudding or chocolate cake?
Sticky toffee pudding.
I think I would go sticky toffee as well, actually.
100%.
Yeah.
No
Although,
question.
I do like a chocolate cake, though, with a nice chocolate.
No. Do you know what, though? I'll tell you why. Chocolate cake can be very dry. If you have a bad chocolate cake, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, but if wouldn't that also apply to sticky toffee pudding?
No, because you've got the sauce over it.
You've got your moist.
So if you have a bad sticky toffee pudding, it's like, oh, that was all right. Like, it wasn't great, but it was all right. If you have a good one, it's amazing. If you have a bad chocolate cake, it's like, oh God, that's like eating a, you know, that's like eating Gandhi's flip-flop. It's dry. There's not much to it. There's
nothing
no
moist.
Yeah. So I just would always steer, unless I know who's made the chocolate cake or I've made it myself, I would just steer clear of chocolate cake. To be honest,
I also think this was a message that came in from Nicola T8426 right now. It's a bit of a weird one. So she's put, is your husband as funny when he's at home as he is on the TV, or is he really boring?
Your husband?
I think that Nicola T8426 thinks
you're
that
married
I'm...
to James.
Yes.
Because Ian is as funny as he is on the TV. Ian is like, what you see of Ian on the TV, guys, is exactly,
what you get at home.
He is like talking about Pomodoros. He's talking about productivity.
Yeah, wearing his shoes, keeping his shoes on.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go back and listen to an old episode. He's driving it forward the whole time. He's like,
come on. Out there. He's building. He's putting things together.
You know, what you see on DIY SOS from Ian, he's got
that
charm.
That's what you get all the time. Yeah, all the time.
People are going to be like, your husband's on DIY. Yeah, just to be clear, Nicola, Angie's not married to James.
No.
If she was, she'd be arrested. He is, in fact, our brother.
He's our brother.
She must think that you're my sister-in-law, then.
We're
sister-in-laws, and that James is my brother, and you're married to him.
Yeah.
Classic.
Well, yeah, so there we go. I thought I'd just clear it up for Nicola.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not married to him. He is my brother.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Okay, here we go. Here's one. We'll round up with this one. How did you start the podcast?
Oh.
Now, there'll be lots of people that might know this, but we have had a lot of new listeners.
Exactly, Pat.
Come through who won't know how we started it.
How it all happened.
So we'll give a very quick plotted history. Shall I start and then you just... I'll get to a certain point and you take over.
Yeah, I'll just sort of filter in and out as needed, Pat.
So back in lockdown 3 years ago,
2020.
Can't believe it'll be 3 years next month that we started this podcast. Chuffing years.
That is bloody amazing, actually.
And the guests we've had on and the things we've done and the stuff we've experienced, shamazing. Anyway, back in 2020, Ange and I were FaceTiming all the time, like everyone else. We were in our bastard houses. With our not funny husbands.
or brothers.
With our not funny husbands. And we were just going insane. We were like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. So we would just be on FaceTime. We'd FaceTime sometimes like 4 or 5 times a day,
loads,
didn't we?
Absolutely loads.
It was just like, what are you doing, Pat? So I was just sat around. Did you see the 5 o'clock briefing?
Bojo. I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
Don't know what's going on. Yeah. And then I just said to Ange, hey, look, should we just start a podcast?
Just like that.
Having absolutely no idea what it actually meant to do a podcast.
Well, I think it kind of, because we would have these FaceTimes and be absolutely cracking ourselves up. I mean, again, the rest of our household's not really finding it that funny, but we were finding ourselves very funny.
Yeah.
And we stupidly / naively thought that maybe other people might find that
funny
too. And so we just thought, you know what, let's just chuck go on Zoom. It was like a Sunday or something, wasn't it? Like a Sunday
afternoon. And our first record went on for hours. I look back now and I'm like, shit, we recorded for like 3 hours. Now we try and get it done in 45 minutes.
I mean, we've become pros.
Oh my God, that first record. And then I had to fucking edit it.
I know.
So I did the edit. And if you go right back to the start, you can see how shit it was. We didn't have a name. We didn't have a name for the podcast. We didn't have a jingle. We literally start the opening episode with, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, whatever time you listen to this podcast. This is currently the podcast with Nelly. I mean, we actually uploaded this onto a platform. We actually put this out in for people to listen to. And so we joined a platform. We put it out there. And... we just basically chatted shit, didn't we?
We did. We chatted a lot of shit. And I think it was one of the listeners, one of our 30 listeners that we had in our very first ep.
Yeah.
When we were a year on and we were sort of reminiscing about our early episodes, I think there was someone that actually put it was very chocolate bar and period heavy.
Yeah, it was like... Honestly, it was. I look back now and I'm like, God, that content was so bad. It was so bad. And we were there cracking up thinking it was an error. We put it out there. We thought like 3 people would listen.
Yeah.
35 people listened. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but for us.
Yes.
It was.
We were not expecting that.
No.
We were not expect. I mean, we were thinking maybe double digits, like 10.
10.
Like we thought, if we get 10 people that listen to that shit, we'll have done all right. And we got 35. We're like, okay, brilliant.
And then we started to get people to share it. So Anna Martha was really great in the early days. Hannah Martin. They both were brilliant. They were actually our first two guests. And honestly, we got followers and listeners from them, no doubt about it. They were absolutely brilliant. Mm. So if you don't follow Anna Martha or Hannah Martin, go and find them on Instagram because they're both brilliant.
Brilliant women, yeah.
And I was editing it and it was difficult. I'm not going to lie. I am not an editor.
No. Well, and I was of zero help because I'm just not tech at all.
Tell when you listen. Like the jingle comes in and it's way too loud. Yeah, then we got a mate of ours to write a jingle and our friend Mel came up with the name.
All of a sudden we felt like, okay, we've got a base here. We've got a good base.
Anyway, I said to Andrew, I can't go on editing this. Either we're going to have to find someone else or we're going to have to hang up our very new headphones.
Podcast headphones.
Yeah. So we just sent it to a load of people that we knew. And we amazingly, we found a company that were happy to work with us.
Do you remember that time when we actually got a response back from, you know, our still editors, producers, as in Warner Brothers, as in the mighty Martin Tricky.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we got a response back saying, I remember I was in the car
I was
driving home from, I'd picked, I don't know, one of the dickheads up from somewhere.
Yeah.
When I say dickheads, I mean my children.
Sure.
I hadn't seen the email.
Oh my God.
But you had, and you rang me. So I'm in the car, so it's on loudspeaker, and you're like, Ange, you've seen the email? I'm like, no, what? I'm in the car. Oh, Ange, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe it. Warner Brothers are saying they're going to give us a shot. I mean, did not expect that at all, did we?
I can't believe they're still with us 3 years on. That is amazing. We're so grateful.
Thank you so much, Tricky.
We are so fortunate and lucky. But look, I'll tell you this now, right? I don't know exactly how many listens we've had all together, but I think we're at like the 800,000 mark.
We're more than that, Pats. Now we're like 905,000. Well,
that means we've had 1 million downloads.
Well, there we go then.
Because we had on a different platform. We had, I think it was either 100,000 or 80,000. Yeah. So that means in 3 years, which I don't think is bad for two little people that are unknown, we've pretty much had 1 million downloads.
That to go from 35.
Yeah.
And I think it's very, I don't know, like when we finished our record this on Monday and the episode that's gone out today, I don't know. I felt really flat after that episode. I'm feeling really open and honest here.
Yeah.
I felt really flat after that episode. Ooh. It just didn't go particularly well. And it just, I don't know, I just felt really low after it.
Oh, mate.
And I have these moments, I'm sure you're the same, Pat, where you just go, I don't know, do we just stop now?
I know, but because then we get amazing messages from people who are you've got me through COVID, you've got me through fertility, you've got me through cancer. Like,
honestly, and
we don't blow our own trumpets very much.
No,
I would say weekly I get more than five messages from people who are like, "You don't know what you've done for me. You don't know how you've helped me. You honestly don't know the support you've given me." Like, we can't give that up.
I know, and I that honestly is what. I'm going to get emotional now.
Let it all out. This is a safe space. This is the safety tree. This is a safe space.
But I do. I just.
I know.
You just sometimes feel like you just. I don't know. I just felt really low after that episode on Monday.
But there will be episodes like that. Right? I know. You can't have done. You know, we didn't take a year. We didn't take a day off in our first year. We did not take a day off. We like slogged our guts out, worked really hard. You can't do this for 3 years and not have some episodes. Now, I think more often than not, we stop recording and we think, that felt all right. And most episodes I listen back to and I think, you know, not to sound big-headed, but I listen back and I think, that was all right.
I
laughed at and I hope other people laugh too. But there will be the odd, and you can't listen. You can't feel flat about it. You just have to.
I just think
it up to experience, babes.
I just want our listeners to know how much those messages do like make such a difference. Because even like some of the people that put in the box today were like, "Can we have more than one a week? Can you make it longer? And you always like go,
because I said in my stories, I was like, we might do a slightly shorter episode this week. Yeah. So many people were like, if you dare do it shorter, I'm going to go mad. This can't be shorter. It's got to be long. Can you? Is there any way you can make this longer?
I know. And those messages and the people that message and just say how, you know, much we have helped them in some small way in their life. It really does make a difference to how we feel about it. Mm. And even when you have a shit episode, like I felt on Monday, and I was literally like, I think I'm just going to have to ring Pats and just say, look, do we just call it a day now?
No.
Do we just? And then like, but then I've been all right. I was just like, no, it's just a bad episode. And just like you say, chalk it down
and
to
if
experience.
If you'd have rung me and said that, I'd have been like, no way. Like, you put on our WhatsApp chat, I'm so sorry, I feel like, and I was like, you don't need to apologise.
I know.
We just have to say, and look, this stuff can get old and feel dead, right? And so we have to find ways. And look, I've loved this episode.
Yeah.
I've really loved it.
Great.
And I would love to do this more. And if people we'd love to hear from you if you would like more of this kind of more chatty
sort of questions
topics
and
So that's how the pod started, and here we are, a million listens on some amazing guests under our belt, and we have got more guests coming. One of the things in the box that I put up was like, have you got any more guests signed up? We have. It's just about getting times that they can
time
do and we
do
can
it
do
and
stuff like that. So we are constantly thinking, and if there's people you would like us to have on, if you've got people that you follow on Instagram, or you know, we've had some really famous people on, but we've also had some like people who are Instagram famous or who are known for their work in sex therapy or have experienced grief in certain ways, or have, you know, we had Knackered Knackers on who's got male infertility. You know, we want to have a whole plethora of guests that appeal to a whole wide audience. So if you've got somebody that you follow on Instagram that you would like us to have on, then, you know, we can't guarantee it'll be a yes, but just please get in touch and let us know. And I think really, from the absolute bottom of our hearts, we can't thank you enough for listening, for coming back week on week, for giving us content. And we'll stick around for as long as you'll have us.
Bloody will, even when we have a shit episode.
Even then.
Yeah.
So remember, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find Ange and I both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
You can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
Or you can send us an email, findingthefunnypodcast@gmail.com. But Ange and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.